Tony.
Paul.
I think this is the second podcast of yours today.
Yeah, twofer.
All right, man. You up for some more rocking on this DC music, or you need a little lie down? Where are you at now?
No, I'm good. I had some Trader Joe's Indian, and then I got a little nap, and I watched some X-Files, so I'm good to go.
All right, let's rock out.
All right.
Welcome back to the Hometown Sounds podcast, where we like to show you how DC rocks. And that song, it rocked. That was the Dolikes.
So good.
I know.
Those production values, that synth in the middle, oh my God.
Yeah, that song was called Time to Take You Home. They recently played a show with the Combs.
Who we had on the show 2 weeks ago.
That's right. And we also listened to the Dolikes a couple weeks ago, and we didn't play them because it was killing Tony.
It was killing me because they sounded just like something. I was like, what is it? And I've been stewing on it for the last 2 weeks, and it finally hit me today. They sound like Sloan, one of my favorite bands historically. And it was on the tip of my tongue, which, by the way, I think this phrase, tip of my tongue, is such a strange one because, no, you're not experiencing anything on the tip of your tongue. It's really in your brain. It's on the tip of your brain.
Yeah, like, it's like way, way back,
yeah,
far from your mouth.
Right.
Yeah, if you could just like pull it right out of your mouth, it would be easy, but you got to pull it way back from your brain and it's not coming. They have some weird distro on this self-titled album, full length. They don't have it on Bandcamp, but instead, they have this really slick-looking web player that you can listen to the whole thing on their website. It looks really nice. You can buy it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play.
I have never bought, well, I've bought things from iTunes, but the other ones, have you ever bought anything via Google Play?
Well, no, because I don't have an Android phone. If you had an Android phone, that's where you, it's like the iTunes of Android, basically.
Okay.
So it makes sense. But yeah, it's like an ecosystem. And, you know, I'm sure the Android people are like, whatever, we always use that. But anyway, it's also on streaming and RDO and Spotify, and they have even pressed it on actual vinyl, and you can buy the vinyl from their site as well. But guys, listen, Bandcamp is awesome.
The Combs, they have a Bandcamp.
Everybody kind of has a Bandcamp now, and it's great when you have an entire library that you have bought in your Bandcamp account. You can stream it through the app. You could, I don't know. It, maybe we're asking too much, but
Paul, you would be such a good user spokesperson for Bandcamp.
I feel like they need it because I don't feel like people understand what all can be done if you have a Bandcamp account and an app and you download it. I mean, you don't have to manage these downloaded files. You don't have to download MP3s anymore. You can just buy it and stream it right in the app, and it's great. That's what everybody wants to do. No one wants to manage MP3s anymore.
Yeah.
Except for us music nerds.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, actually, so Paul, you mentioned RDO.
Yeah.
I'd never put the connection between the spoken word and the written word. I just thought it was radio.
Oh.
So this gets to the issue of words that maybe you've seen or heard, but have not put the connection of like how they're related.
Right.
And an example of this is I mentioned that someone I went to high school with was in the Johnny Cash biopic, Walk the Line. And someone said, are you trying to be ironic? Like,
yeah.
I did not know that it was biopic because I'd only like read it.
Right. You don't know how the pronunciation is. And I have actually heard that on some podcasts that I listen to. It's like somebody says a word and it's like, oh, you've never used that word in conversation with anybody else before. And that's not how most other people pronounce it. But, you know.
It's kind of like whenever that happens, it's kind of like someone's like watching you lose your V card a little bit.
It's just awkward. Well, and then you think like, wait, am I saying it right? Have I ever used this word? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk out some more.
Yeah.
What's up next, Tony?
Clones of clones.
I've been counting the fights. I see.
That was Clones of Clones with a track called Somebody Else. And that was kind of breezier than Clones of Clones material of late and sort of their first EP, Neighborhoods.
Yes, that is true. They have a new album coming out on October 6th. It's called Monster Heart. And their next show is going to be Friday, August 28th at IOTA with another fave of ours, mine especially, Lighting Fires.
Not the first show they've done together, also at the same venue.
I know, we were talking about that. That's kind of a little, it's only two bands, and it's like the exact same two bands. Like Tony and I were both at that show, and it was a great show.
It was.
We had a great time. And I do actually think that Lighting Fires has been developing. I've now seen them like three, four times in a row now, and kind of every time I see them, they're getting better and better. I'm like really digging them.
Rad.
And Clones of Clones, you know, they got all this new material coming out too, so, but it's like, I know you guys are buds, but like, what about a third band to sort of break it up a little bit?
Yeah.
You know?
So, in a press release about their upcoming record, Monster Heart, it stated that it's an album about a messed up relationship, and this is kind of getting at why I love Clones of Clones. And that is that I really love Ben Pei's sneering, snickering, and sort of pissed off vocal delivery. Mm. And when I first heard Clones of Clones, I thought I was going to hate the guy. I thought I was going to hate him. Uh-huh. And he's actually turned out to be incredibly reasonable. I wonder if, like, what kind of role Clones of Clones has in like maintaining Ben's emotional health.
It could be. I actually met Ben before I even knew about Clones of Clones.
I know this story.
Because we were both helping out way back in the day. Should I even admit this in public? I don't know. I guess I have to. But with the Sweet Tea Pumpkin Pie Music Festival. And we were both helping that out. And so that's how I knew Ben. And super nice, friendly, warm guy.
Yeah.
And then I see this Ben. I'm like, whoa, wow. Also, yeah. Ben, hugely ripped. That guy.
Oh, yeah. He is shredded.
Oh, my gosh.
Shredded. Yeah.
I feel like I'm a total loser next to him.
You know, actually, have you seen him with his shirt off? Like, because the thing is, I'm just thinking about him, and I've never thought about him as being ripped. But now I'm just thinking about how trim he looks, and I get that.
I think I've seen him in the tank top.
Okay.
AKA the wife beater.
Sure.
And, yeah, it's pretty ripped.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's rock out some more, Tony.
Yeah.
What I got next?
Collider.
Yeah.
That was Collider with, I guess it's their theme song because it's called Collide. That is from their 5-song demo EP, which is, of course, as a demo EP should, a name your own price download on Bandcamp.
And that sounds better than a demo.
It does. I was a little hesitant.
Of course.
When we were researching this.
Always.
I was like, oh, it's a demo. It's going to sound terrible. No, it sounded really good. We saw them play last night at the Ben Tufts and Friends Extravaganza at Jam and Java. They decided to use a term coined by Mr. Jay Robbins.
I love this.
Jay Robbins, in case you don't know, he was in Jawbox and Burning Airlines and Office of Future Plans. He's kind of a little bit of a legend. He coined a term called beef gaze to describe a band, and this band, Collider, decided that that's how they should be described. It's defined as beefcakey dudes playing shoegazy rock.
Although, oddly, I didn't find anyone in this band to look especially beefcakey. They were all kind of scrawny.
And there's a woman in the band, so I think that would be cheese gaze. And that's a hard word to say.
It is.
And it's kind of gross.
Jeez.
Yeah. So anyway, they were a pretty awesome set last night. And I was Googling them as we were sitting there like, whoa, who are these guys? So I was Googling them and discovered that they're... Of course, you can imagine that there have been other bands called Collider in the past.
But, certainly.
But what I found was that there was this band from the late 2000s called Collider that were from D.C.
I believe they call them the Aughts, Paul.
Oh, that's true, the Aughts. And they were from D.C. They were called Collider. Consequence of Sound wrote about them in 2010. So it's a little weird to name your band the same name as another band from that same town. So you can't even add the name of the town to differentiate the different bands that you're trying to Google for.
So I mentioned earlier that I've been watching a lot of X-Files lately because I never watched the X-Files in the 90s. And here's why.
Okay.
Because it was always on past my bedtime on Sunday nights. But what I'm thinking about right now is that if I were Fox Mulder, what I would theorize is that there is a spirit inhabiting DC that is prompting new bands to name themselves Collider to confuse Google results. And this is to further the syndicate's agenda of, you know, creating an eventually more dead, but in the meantime, more confused public.
All right.
I've been doing nothing but cracking X-Files jokes with Paul like for the last couple of weeks. Because he's already seen it all.
Yeah, I watched it back in the day. Yeah, and I'm just like, how far is into it? And that's how far into it Tony is. He's deep into the conspiracy stuff right now. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's rock out some more. Who we got next, Tony?
This is a band called June Gloom.
The song is called Anniversary. The band is called June Gloom, and they know how to name things because that is spot on.
Actually, they name so many things really well, and we're going to get to that in just a moment.
Yes.
So I learned about this band just in the last day or two. Had never heard of them, but I got a show invite to a show that they are playing Friday, October 2nd at Above the Bayou, the hot DIY spot, you know, over in the sort of foggy bottom-ish area. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to say the address, but it is close to the restaurant. Mm. On that bill, they are playing with a band from New York called Puppy. What I said to Paul earlier was it's Puppy with three P's, but then Paul said, like, is that the whole band name? Like, Puppy with three P's? And then I realized that Puppy already has three P's in it. But what I meant was that Puppy is spelled with three P's in the middle, which I think is a clever way. And, you know, because other bands like right. Brenda, they eliminate vowels to make themselves more Googleable.
Right.
But Puppy instead has added a consonant.
Well, of course, we are assuming that they meant to do that, that it's not just a typo.
You know, that's true.
we're attributing genius to them that might not be actually appropriate. I also want to say something, too, about this is random about Facebook. But, you know, you get all these Facebook events, and there's always the little box on the right-hand side that's for inviting other people.
Oh, yeah. To this. We were talking about this.
And the same people are always at the top of there's only four people that can be listed on it. And the first person all the time is my mother. And I'm sorry, but my mother is not going to go to Above the Bayou to see Puppy with Three P's and June Gloom or any other Facebook events that I attend. And I really wish that Facebook's algorithms would be smart enough to know that people like Tony are the people I invite to events and not my mother.
See, I feel like Facebook does a fine job with that for me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about Facebook, like thinking of what your mom's into.
I've never invited my mother to a Facebook event. I don't think ever. And it has been like that for months.
Sure.
I don't know. This is such a crazy tangent. The June Gloom song, getting back to that.
Oh, by the way, Puppy is how it's spelled.
Okay.
P-U-P-P-P-Y. Continue.
Genius. This is from a Pay What You Want 6-song EP called Sad Summer 2013.
That was released in April 2015. So I was also just sort of doing a double take, seeing 2 years.
Right. Yeah, well, they recorded it 2 years ago and then sat on it and then mixed it finally and put it out.
They sat on it.
Yeah.
I was a pun on sad. You get it, Paul?
Also, in case you are a fan of cassette tapes.
Oh, I love this.
They have put it out on 24-karat gold leaf tape. And it was, as it says on the Bandcamp, it was funded by Birthday Money Incorporated.
So, Paul, I was thinking, what if Eddie Money had a kid and named his kid Birthday?
Birthday Money.
Birthday Money.
And I just think it's funny, too, like, if you had a record label calling it Birthday Money, like, who funded that Birthday Money? And that's probably actually true.
Yeah.
And I also think it's a little funny that their Bandcamp page has a link where most people would put a link to their actual website, their Facebook, their Twitter. June Gloom has decided to link to the Wikipedia page about the term June Gloom. Apparently, it is a Southern California term for a weather pattern that results in cloudy, overcast skies with cool temperatures during the late spring and early summer, most commonly in the month of June. Kind of exactly what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's kind of perfect.
No, and the name matches the sound of the band, which I think is kind of a rarity, to tell you the truth. You know,
yeah.
A name is just a variable so that you can refer to something.
Absolutely.
You know, also, I think that band sounds oddly similar to the Dulikes we played at the top of the show, but in kind of like a more garage rocky way. So I don't know what I'm thinking. Like, I want to get June Gloom in touch with the Dulikes so that June Gloom can show the Dulikes what Bandcamp is.
That sounds great. And also tapes.
Yeah.
So now we're going to stop rocking out and get a little weird on you.
Oh, this is real weird.
Yeah. This is Jason Mullinex.
What's that button do? Thank you.
Hello, Human. That was a new track by Jason Mullinex.
It's like the aliens from the X-Files.
Pretty much. That was the
weird. That's what it was.
Hell yeah. That was a leadoff track from Jason's new album, which is called Home World. Came out on August 8th. It is a pay what you want download on Bandcamp. Jason Mullinex is a percussionist and electronic composer, heavily inspired by 70s psychedelic rock, space rock. He formerly released experimental music under the name, I've never said this word out loud before. Pilisar? P-I-L-E-S-A-R. I've never heard that word said live, and now I have to say it. Pilisar. Let's say Pilisar. He's been long involved in the Sonic Circuit scene, and in fact, the album art for Homeworld was done by Chester Hawkins, who is an experimental musician in DC, best known as Blue Sausage Infant.
I hate that artist name. It makes me want to barf. Not the only time today that the name of something that's made you want to barf.
Yeah.
And just to not be vague. Earlier, Paul and I were talking about a song title. What was it, Paul?
Eating Spiders in Your Sleep.
I did almost throw Hurl Pearls.
Because
that's a rhyme I just came up with a few weeks ago, actually. Hurl Pearls.
Jason Mullinex lives in Tacoma Park. He's also a music educator, so you can hit him up for lessons.
In that?
In electronic or in percussion. I think I would want to take lessons from somebody who made music like that.
Well, and I've actually always kind of wondered, I'd be very interested in taking like a class or getting lessons in electronic music, because currently, yes, like I have no idea how to make it. I mean, like I know that I would get a keyboard and I would figure out all the sounds and stuff like that, but
yeah,
like no, like that designing something from the ground up.
Oh yeah, and probably everybody does it differently, and you know, you develop your own sort of system that works, and everybody's is kind of a little different. So yeah.
So actually, right before we put that on, you know, you see Facebook ads for products, and some might be cool, some might be, you know, not so notable. But there's an ad for a bathing suit, and this bathing suit is cool in the sense that, okay, so it's red and blue, but then when you get it wet, all these stripes and all these other patterns show up, and they're from a company called Chubby Shorts.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
It's a well-named company.
Very, very much so, and I just thought this was really cool. I don't know, I think that there's something very fun and silly about products that change color or glow in the dark.
Do you even remember Hypercolor shirts? Was that a thing?
Wait, what?
Oh, see, this is like a late 80s thing. Right. There used to be these t-shirts, and when you would get them warm in places, they would change color. It was like a weird tie-dye thing that would happen.
So like, what if your middle school crush like walks in the room and you're wearing a Hypercolor shirt?
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
Right, that's how
everyone knows about your middle school boner.
And that almost takes us to the end of this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. So please subscribe to it. And also tell one of your besties that we do this awesome show where we play music.
Paul, you just said besties to make up for the fact that you just talked about hyper shirts from the 80s. And you're just trying to seem contemporary and not old.
I'm old. I'm so old. We're on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Oh, the old guy's on social media. He's
Hell
so cool.
Yeah. I know about all that stuff. It's got Hometown Sounds. We play music videos on our site. We have a 24/7 music stream. You should check out all that stuff. HometownSoundsDC.com. And if you want to submit DC music, sponsor the station, or give us feedback on how awesome this podcast is, our email address is DJ@HometownSoundsDC.com. And please support the musicians you've heard on this podcast by buying their music
and seeing them play live
all around town. The last song on this podcast is going to be a classic one. We're throwing it back. Fort Knox 5. Sadly, John Hovarth, the main guy in Fort Knox 5, recently passed away at some point over the last week. It's been a little bit quiet and secretive about the announcement. And I was really bummed. I was super duper bummed about this because John Hovarth, Fort Knox 5, has been around in DC since 2003. That is a really long time to have been a going concern in the DC music scene. And it's definitely been a part that has had hills and troughs in popularity. Definitely the mid-tempo funk thing was definitely big in the late 2000s, and in the electronic world was eclipsed by the dubstep, Moonbaton fads, you know, Skrillex and Diplo and all that stuff. And I first found Fort Knox 5 a long time ago when I went to DJ Hut, back when DJs actually bought records. And
What is DJ Hut?
DJ Hut was a DJ store. It was in DuPont Circle. They sold 12-inch vinyl singles, and generally imports were $10, domestics were $7, and you would go there. This is another, like, I'm so old, I'm blowing Tony's world. You would go there, you would like get your stack of vinyl that you wanted to listen to and put on the headphones and find the tracks that were like your style and that you liked, and then you'd go up to the counter and you'd spend hundreds of dollars on this stuff, because good God, it was expensive. And you might only like one song, but that was $10 for the one song that you like, because that was vinyl. And this was about the end of it, before DJing with MP3s came along. But the time that I remember specifically going to DJ Hut, John H. was working there, and I was buying Fort Knox 5 on vinyl from him directly. And I had mentioned that I was a big fan of his. He was like really thankful, super appreciative. And that's actually the only time I ever got to meet John H. He was everywhere. I don't know why I never met him, because whatever. But I saw him DJ so many times, U Street Music Hall and a lot of other places. And it was always so great. He was such an amazing DJ, such an amazing producer, such an amazing head of the label. I feel like there was, you know, DC in the electronic world was mostly well known for Thievery Corporation and the 18th Street Lounge label. And that definitely had a very cool sort of snooty vibe to it, and they had other people on their label. But I feel like when John H. and Fort Knox 5 came along and started the Fort Knox recording label, they took a lot of that energy from that label and made it more fun and party like and so the Thunderball guys became part of Fort Knox 5's band. CI, who is well known as the two Jamaican brothers who do a lot of vocals for Thievery Corporation, brought their own band over to the Fort Knox recording label. And they just were constantly putting out great, great remixes and singles. He recently put out Pressurize the Cabin, which we played the first track of on the podcast a few months ago. So anyway, I was a huge, huge fan.
It's a great title for a song, by the way.
Yeah, totally.
Like, make sure the cabin is pressurized.
Absolutely. Yes, ready for takeoff. So anyway, I was super, super bummed. And also super bummed that there has been a lot of outpouring of remembrances of how great John was and how great his music was from the electronic music press. There are a lot of blogs and sites where that if you are not into that style of music, you've probably never heard of them, but a lot of them published odes to John, and none of the DC music press, as far as I have seen, has mentioned it once. And this is a guy who has been around for a long time, has been the head of a label, has really, you know, shaped a lot of music stuff in DC, and it really bummed me out that no one even thought to mention that he had passed. So Hometown Sounds is definitely mentioning it. So I want to play a song that came out way back in 2003 on vinyl. This is Blowing Up the Spot, one of the classic mid-tempo funk songs from Fort Knox 5. And that's it. Thanks very much, Tony.
Thanks very much, Paul.
See you next time. We'll be right back.
just like an